Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Following on from our last Bible adventure, after King Ahab of Israel died in battle, his son Ahaziah became king. In the last chapter of 1 Kings in the Bible, it says that Ahaziah did evil in the sight of the Lord and followed in the ways of his parents, Ahab and Jezebel, and also Jeroboam, the very first king of Israel. King Ahaziah reigned for 2 years in Samaria before he had a very serious fall in his palace.
Did you hear about the king? He fell through a window into the courtyard of the palace and almost killed himself.
Maybe he will die yet, will he?
I don't know. The physicians say he doesn't have a very good chance to pull through. Seems he broke several bones and cut himself. He's in bad condition.
What chance have I, physicians?
Frankly, Your Majesty, we don't know. His Majesty's injuries have developed complications far beyond the knowledge of medical science, and there's nothing further we can do.
Send messengers to Ekron. Ask gods if I will get well.
All right, dear, all right. Lackey, you heard the king. See that messengers are sent at once to the god Beelzebub at Ekron. Ask him if his majesty will recover, and hurry.
Stop, please!
You are the messenger sent by the king to see the gods at Ekron?
We are, sir.
Is it because there is no god in Israel that the king sends to Ekron to inquire of Beelzebub? There is a god in Israel, and he has commanded me to say unto you that the king shall not get out of the bed of sickness on which he now lies, but he shall surely die thereon. Return unto your king and give him this message. Farewell.
You were told that I would not get well.
Yes, Your Majesty.
By whom?
We don't know, Your Majesty. Just a man who met us on the way.
Was he a prophet?
Did not say, sire.
What did he look like?
Well, Your Majesty, he wore garments of hair with a girdle of leather about him.
Elijah the Tishbite. Scribe, send me the captain of my guards.
Right away, sire.
Captain, take 50 men with you and capture Elijah the Tishbite and find out if the word he sent unto me is the word of the Lord. If it is, bring him here. I want to see him. Force him to come if you have to.
Yes, Your Majesty.
There he is, Captain, sitting on top of the hill.
Up the hill, men, on the double! Thou man of God, the king has sent me with these 50 soldiers with orders to take you back to the palace. Come.
If I be truly a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 soldiers.
And King Ahaziah sent another captain with 50 more soldiers. And they came to Elijah and said,
The king commands you to come with us. If you know what's good for you, you'll obey the king.
If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy thee and thy 50 soldiers who dare come to God in such stubbornness and lack of reverence.
The king sent yet another captain with 50 men, and This captain came and fell on his knees before Elijah.
O man of God, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the other captains and their 50s. But I come to thee begging that thou spare my 50 men, and let my life be precious also in thy sight.
Because thou hast humbled thyself, and have come in respect before the Lord God of Israel, thy life and the lives of thy 50 soldiers shall be spared.
Thank you, man of God. Glory to his holy name.
Glory to his holy name.
The book of 2 Kings continues on from where the book of 1 Kings left off, and it deals with the remaining years of the divided kingdoms of Israel and Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel steadily declined both politically and spiritually, as all its succeeding kings were ungodly men and no religious revival ever occurred in the kingdom. Ahaziah served and worshipped Baal, just as his father Ahab had done. Despite his poor health after his accident in his palace at Samaria, Ahaziah didn't inquire of the Lord for help. Instead, he sent messengers on his behalf to the idol Baal-zebub, the chief pagan god worshipped in the city of Ekron about 70 kilometers south in neighboring Philistine country. A return journey there and back would have taken about 3 days. An angel of the Lord appeared to God's prophet Elijah and told him to intercept the king's messengers on their way to Ekron and give them a true message from the Lord to take to Ahaziah. Ahaziah was very surprised to see his messengers return home so soon, but he wasn't pleased at all to hear God's message through Elijah that he would soon die from his injuries. Thinking he could stop or change God's message by killing or capturing Elijah, Ahaziah sent a captain with 50 men to find Elijah and bring him before him. Elijah was faced with the rest, and he turned to God for protection. God sent down fire from heaven, which killed the captain and his men. When Ahaziah sent a second captain and group of men, the same thing happened. It seemed a harsh punishment for God to impose on soldiers for doing their duty, but their disrespect towards Elijah indicated that they had rejected the authority of the Lord God through Elijah, his prophet and messenger. God wanted to establish beyond doubt who the true king of Israel was, himself and not a man. Ahaziah, like all the other kings of Israel, was meant to serve the Lord, not live independently of him and worship false gods. Ahaziah was wrong to put himself above God's prophet, and his men paid the price for it. When Ahaziah determined to send a captain of a third group of soldiers to capture Elijah, the captain knew the fate of his fellow captains. He recognized that he was dealing with a powerful man of God who deserved respect, so on behalf of himself and his men, he humbly begged mercy from Elijah to save their lives, as they were only following the king's orders. This time God showed mercy and spared their lives, revealing himself not only as a God of judgment, but also as a God of grace. An angel appeared to Elijah and assured him that this time the soldiers would do him no harm. So Elijah went with them to meet the king. When before Ahaziah, Elijah gave the very same message that he had previously. And true to the word of the Lord, Ahaziah died. His scheme to reverse God's prophetic word had failed. Because Ahaziah had no son and heir to the throne, his younger brother, Joram, succeeded him as the king of Israel. Have you ever asked yourself why there are so many people in the world who, like Ahaziah, have no respect for God or fear of him? Some make a choice, shall I please myself or please God? And they choose to disregard God and plan their own way in life. Others have no knowledge of God apart from what they see in nature. But even this is enough to show the existence of God. In the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness and prevent the truth from being made known. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshipping the glorious, ever-living God, They worshipped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. The Bible is clear. The person who wants to save their life for their own pursuits will lose it for eternity in the next life. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it." For those people who don't accept the Bible as God's truth, is there any other way to help them see and understand God's authority over everything? Firstly, nothing can create nothing, as nothing produces nothing at all. God is a necessary being because if God didn't exist, then neither would anything else. Furthermore, God is a purposeful being who has a will, creates and directs all events to suit him, and one future day he'll bring all things under the authority of the risen Son, Jesus Christ. God alone is a self-existent being and the first cause of everything else that exists. In John chapter 5, Jesus said, "The Father has life in himself." Paul preached in Acts chapter 17, "He, that's God, is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." Another aspect of life is justice. The Bible is very clear that there is coming a time of judgment. The Lord Jesus said in Luke's Gospel chapter 12, "The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops for all to hear." You may believe that some criminals have gotten away with their crimes by not coming to a court of law here on earth, but do not be deceived. Absolutely nothing will be missed out in God's court in the next life. Non-Christians will be judged for their sins and lack of belief in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Christians will be judged by how they have lived their lives as spiritually reborn people in Christ, as Christ is the only one who establishes and perfects faith and good works that count for God's eternal approval. In Daniel chapter 2, it says, "Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events, and he removes kings and sets up other kings. If only King Ahaziah of Israel had humbled himself before God, his life and rule over the nation might have lasted longer. But God removed him for his rebellious wickedness." For Christians, respect for God is more than just honoring and valuing him. A biblical fear of God for the believer includes understanding just how much God hates sin and fearing his judgment on sin, even in the life of the believer. The Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and part of living as examples of Christ before a watching world is by showing respect to others. The gospel not only shapes what we say, but how we say it. There should be a distinct flavor in the way that Christians speak. Every argument, every conversation, every social media post should display grace. In Colossians chapter 4 it says, "Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you will have the right response for everyone." People don't have worth just because they agree with our views. They have worth because they are humans created in the image of God. We demonstrate our love for God by loving others. When Jesus called Peter back to ministry in John chapter 21, he told Peter to show his love for Christ by taking care of God's people. In John's Gospel chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus said, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Do you believe this, and as a result, you're walking in Christ's power over sin in your life? The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.